dialed at home, it's a sure win, right? Sherwin Williams.
Punch me in the face, please.
My Lord!
I'm trying to go deep here.
Yeah, Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Booga booga, I eat poopy diapers.
And he can't score the puck if he can't shoot the goal.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancers.
Well, this is the fanciest setup I've ever seen for a goddamn podcast with 50 listeners.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 62 of Three in the Box, your playoff-bound Minnesota Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, February 22nd, 2015. This is Aaron, and this week we talk about Dallas losing, Dubnyk winning, and Dayton's downtown, huh? In the studio with me is Kenny.
I kind of just want to say DDD.
Quadruple D.
Quadruple? Triple. No.
I got a fourth D in there.
Downtown.
Those are big ones.
Bitches love alliteration.
What up?
And Jive.
Yep.
So what a way to start things off, I guess. Yeah. Ooh. So great night tonight, right before the podcast. We're getting recording a little bit late because we were watching the Wild just destroy Dallas.
Well, at least
a period's worth destroying, yeah, you know?
Yeah. Ooh, that can go in so many bad directions.
Wow.
You could have just said it's like a bloody massacre.
Wow. It's going the wrong direction fast.
And we're a whole 2 minutes in, so.
Right. Let's turn this ship around.
Well, before we get in too far into this,
speaking of Twitter,
yeah, well, just like to remind you can follow us on Twitter. We're at Three in the Box. That's at the number three in the box. So since we're already talking about the Wild game, let's talk about the Wild. So yeah, we have yet another week of Wild wins. They go 3-1 with wins in Calgary and Edmonton, and then as I mentioned, at home tonight against the Stars. With the win tonight, the Wild move into the top eight in the conference, actually moving to seventh place.
Nice.
And they are now in a wild card spot, which is the first time since November, I believe, November 24th.
Right.
So it's only been, like, what, 3 months?
A couple months, you know. We had a little slump there.
Just a little bit of a slump, yep. And we aren't in the toughest division in the NHL, so
exactly.
That definitely has some contributing factors to it.
Mm-hmm.
The Wild are now a league best 11-1-1 since All-Star break.
Nice.
I mean, it doesn't get much more on fire than that, really.
Nope.
No, they're killing right now.
It is. And it's exactly what we needed at this point.
Oh, no doubt.
Otherwise, I mean, if we go back to our episodes just a couple weeks ago.
They were dark.
It was pretty dark and somber. I mean, we're ready to look to next year.
Like, who can we start firing already?
Yeah.
We're out of names.
And we're not Minnesotans. We don't jump to conclusions.
No. Well, and you know, I'm sure you remember, you know, there was a point in the season where the home ice advantage crowd was booing this team. Now they're dubing the team. Obviously, the Wild have turned it around. Dubnyk, you know, he deserves a lot of the credit. But what do you think of Yo's involvement in this resurgence? I mean, I think for now, a second year in a row, he's basically his job was on the line and it's
held it together.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, Fletcher feels good about him. Because he, you know, earlier this year, even kind of right before that slump hit, signed him for what, 3 years? 2 years?
Yeah.
So, and
or before the season, during the offseason, they extended him for 3 years. So.
Yeah. So, obviously, when they were going into that slump, Fletcher did say that, you know, his job was not on the line.
Give him a vote of confidence.
Absolutely. Right. And, you know, so I think we're going to still see Yo for the extent of his contract. I don't see it being done early.
So, but I mean, a lot of people were giving, when the Wild were losing, Yo was the scapegoat. He was the reason they were losing.
Right.
It wasn't the goaltending. It wasn't the players not scoring goals. It was Yo. Are things different at all now? I mean, is Yo still a scapegoat when they win? Because it doesn't seem like he's getting the same amount of credit.
When there's wins that are being posted on the board, anytime that's happening, Obviously, there's a bright light around everything,
right.
And things are all honky-dory. Going back to talk about things, you can't blame the coach on everything. A lot of times in professional sports these days, though, the coaches basically are the scapegoat that people, you know, that's what they take.
They get the blame for the losses and no credit for the wins.
Right. If in a football game, you know, a coach goes for it on 4th-and-1 and they don't get it, people bash that coach for why would you do that in this situation? But if they get it, then they're like, you know, oh, they're a god. But yeah, and just the same in hockey here. I mean, you could say, you know, Yo was, you know, starting these goalies wrong or something like that you know, was causing all this. But I mean, really, I mean, you've got your players. They need to go out there and perform. They're professionals.
Right.
When we go to work every day, we don't expect that our boss has to ride our tail for us to get our jobs done.
Right.
We're
paid a lot less.
Right. We're expected to just go out there and we're expected to perform. Now, I'll be the first to admit, you know, some days I show up, I might not be the best performer.
Right.
You know, we've all got our times, you know, where we might be in a slump or, you know.
Right.
Might not be as creative or you might not be as productive, but in the end, we're all professionals and we do our jobs. So just the same, I mean, these guys, they got to come to work. They got to do their job. That said, though, Yo's a professional as well. His job is to keep the glue together, hold the team together. So you can put some, you know, onus on this with Yo, but I mean it's still a team game, so it takes all pieces functioning to make it go. And right now, I mean, everything is all moving in a positive direction, and it's this is how easily it can happen too. I mean, the teams, you know, when things start happening, it snowballs,
right?
Whether that's in a positive way or in a negative way,
right? Right.
For a long time there, it was snowballing in the negative way. What turned that around? I
think getting some fresh blood in there definitely helped that situation. You get somebody new in, somebody, you know, Jive, going back to your analogy, you know, you're sitting at work, you got a team that's not doing something right. You know, you can mix it up. You can mix up that the same recipe over and over again, but it's still going to come out like goulash.
Right. Well, and I think that all goes back to, you know, the way Yo coaches. You know, we've seen that in the years he's been here now. He rides a goalie. Once that goalie gets cold, he goes to the other goalie, and he does pretty well. You know, managing having two goalies, one riding when they're hot, and then when they. The other one is starting to suck a little. The other one comes in and he rides them until they get cold. We just so happened this year that we had two cold goalies and he wasn't getting either of them catching fire. And that's basically, and plus we had some injuries mixed in there. You have, you know, no depth at goalie on top of that. And you know, as much as I think Dubnyk has done a great job, you know, I think Fletcher's inability to figure out what we're going to do with goalie at the beginning of the season is really, you
that
know,
hurt.
It handcuffed Yo. So
I'll drink to that.
You know, Fletcher, yeah, could have played his cards differently with that and actually grabbed a solid goalie right from the beginning. But, you know, again, I think it was bringing in somebody new, somebody with some fresh blood, a fresh look at things, that was enough just to kind of start inspiring. And doing it and going after it.
Have you guys already forgot about Harding in the beginning of the season? I mean,
true.
We had like tons of options at goalie to start the season out.
And that's not to make light of the fact that Kemper started off really well as well,
really hot.
But you know, once he got cold, Backstrom didn't come in and light things on fire. He was the Backstrom we knew. It was pretty terrible, you know.
Yeah.
fire extinguisher. You
know, but since we're talking about goalies. Yeah.
I mean, Dubnyk, I mean, this week he earned his fifth shutout since joining the Wild. Sixth overall this season, yep. And, I mean, he's obviously been a key piece in the Wild's climb back into the playoff contention here. So, I mean, Yo, like you said, he continues to lean on the hot goalie. He's leaning on him. Dubnyk has started the last 17 games in net for the Wild. Wow. So, I mean, his performance has definitely proven that, I mean, he can hold his own. He's an NHL-level goalie. I know maybe previous stints that he's had in the NHL have maybe not proven so fruitful. And I know we don't have a huge sampling size here, but I think it's safe to say that there's enough potential there at this point now.
And NBC was very adamant about pointing that out, that he was staying in, like, an American, well, probably not American in Canada, but like a Motel 8 with the AHL most of last season. And then, you know, he came out of nowhere. Yeah.
So, but that said, Chuck Fletcher isn't extending any contracts or anything with him right now.
Right.
He wants him to concentrate on playing right now.
Probably smart.
Yeah. But when all is said and done, you got Kemper. He played a huge part, like you said, Aaron, in the beginning of the season. Yeah. I mean, what did Kemper have? What, four? Was it four? No, three or four shutouts. I can't remember.
He was at three.
Three shutouts in the beginning of the season. And then you got Dubnyk now, who's come in of late, and he's just been solid back there.
Yeah, he's sitting at six now. That's number two in the NHL in the shutouts.
Nice.
Tied. I mean, yep. He's been on fire. I mean.
Yep. But then you got Backstrom, he's basically proven to me he's on the tail end of his career.
But he's still got another year on his contract, right. And it's unmovable.
Right.
Yeah.
Wild still have an amnesty buyout, don't they?
You can't do it because he was signed after the CBA.
Oh, that's right.
So we're stuck with him, or you cut him, you know?
So that said, where or will do you think Dubnyk will be on the Wild roster come next fall? I mean, do you think he'll be our starter, play in a backup role, or maybe not even on our roster at all?
And see, I know Kenny had said that you think it's a good idea for them to wait on trying to sign him. And maybe it is, because maybe it's a flash in the pan, much like we saw Briz, where he did really well for us. And then right now he did so poorly with Anaheim and he's on waivers. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that's the case with Dubnyk. I guess I have a little more faith that he's going to be a productive long-term player. And I worry about him getting to free agency, and we're going to end up having to overpay for basically half a season. Kind of like Kemper. And, you know, maybe if we try to tie him up now after 15 games, he's a little cheaper, and we can maybe, have a little better goalie situation next year.
Yeah.
I think we can still tie him up for next year. I honestly do. I think we're going to have to cut bait with Backstrom.
That's an inevitable.
Because Dubnyk's 28 years old, so he's about where, you know, he's about going to be in his prime for a goalie right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if he finishes off the year solid, brings the Wild into the playoffs, and does, you know, even if it's not to the finals, but, you know, a couple of solid rounds, I could see him getting signed as the number one, with Kemper being the number two goalie going into next season.
I think the only reason where I'd back off and go we should wait to sign him is that I don't think a lot of teams are looking for goalies right now, and I think that'll probably help the Wild. At least there's no teams that are like, you know, in the Wild's position where they're contenders and they need goalies.
Yeah,
I think a lot of teams feel like they have a goalie that can bring him somewhere. It's just they need other parts. I know last year was when we had the goalie craziness.
How many goalies like just switched teams?
It was like 12. I mean, it was something. It was a huge number of goalies that switched last year. And I think that we're not going to see that again this year. And I think we don't have a lot of goalies that have contracts expiring this offseason. So I think it's going to set up the Wild in a good spot to be able to secure them. And I think that's the only reason where I go, okay, maybe it is best to, you know, take our time. Mm-hmm. You know, Dubnyk hasn't lost a whole lot yet. And we still got a lot of hockey yet to play.
So, I mean, it sounds like you guys are pretty much in the vein right now that saying that he will be returning to the Wild next year, or at least that the Wild will desire him that he returns.
I think the Wild will desire him, and I think the Wild will have an upper hand because we're giving him a starting shot. And and he seems like the kind of guy that would be respectful of the opportunity.
Appreciative of it.
That the Wild have given him. And even though it was out of desperation, it's worked out for both, you know.
Right. Yeah. So, and I guess I would have to agree with you guys, and especially like with what you said, Kenny, where, you know, maybe throw him into that starting role.
Absolutely.
Let Kemper continue to grow and build. I mean, Kemper's still young. So there's nothing to say that we can't continue to groom him and he can't become, you know, a top goalie in the league.
Well, and the interesting thing is we gave Kemper a 1-year contract. The discussions this upcoming year are going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
Because you've got Backstrom still there. Kemper obviously played poorly enough where he lost, a golden ticket opportunity to be the starting goalie.
He did. But he showed a lot of potential in the beginning of the season.
Sure. And maybe he's just one of those kids who needs to be pushed and have an actual someone behind him going, hey, I could play too, you know.
That might be it. Or just, you know, young mistakes and young, not enough experience might lead you to, you know, slumping like that in your professional career. And so that's where, I mean, Dubnyk, he's already probably been through, you know, several bouts of that.
Right.
Where, you know, I'm no good anymore. And,
you
fight your way back and you do it.
With Kemper's contract being up too, it could make for an interesting situation with Backstrom as well. Because hopefully Fletcher learned a little bit after the debacle this past year. I don't think Kemper is going to get the contract that he got this year.
No.
And, you know, if his agent decides to play hardball again and walks to a different team, we're going to need another goalie behind Dubnyk, and that might end up being Backstrom for the final year of his contract.
Yeah, that's quite possible. But he's not going to go anywhere in the NHL, Kemper, that is. I guess, you know, it's possible that, you know, the Wild try to shift him for another goalie and do a swap and say, oh, Kemper needs a fresh start somewhere else. We'll take another goalie.
Yeah.
With them knowing that he's going to back up Dubnyk, maybe get a pick in that mix because we're getting a backup goalie for maybe a potential number ones down the road.
Pick up Briz off of waivers.
So what kind of contract would you guys be talking about if we had to sign Dubnyk today? What kind of contract would you guys be willing to give him?
With goalies, you know,
but he didn't sign a big contract this year, so
no.
But he was still an RFA, so he wasn't going to get a large contract.
With goalies, I don't know if I would sign him for more than 2 or 3 years at a time. I mean, look at what happens when the goalies get the big contracts.
Right.
By the time their contract is done, you're sitting on basically money going out the door for a guy who's not playing.
I think when you look at the long term contracts that have been handed out to goalies, you see more instances of that failing.
Both parties end up not being happy. Look at Luongo in Vancouver.
Right. Or look at the Islanders goalie, DiPietro.
Yeah.
I don't even think he's in the league anymore. And he was given like a monster contract, 10 years. But, you know, on the
Brizglov still getting paid from.
Briz is another great example. You know, got a monster contract and he's still getting paid for it, even though he's in Anaheim.
Maybe not much longer.
Not for much longer. But on the flip side, you have like Pekka Rinne, who's he's making that contract worth it for Nashville, despite his injury last year. He's been a remarkably solid goalie. They're the top team in the league now, mainly based off Rinne.
You know? Well, that's also not to say that you know, Luongo's long-term contract. The first few years with Vancouver, I mean, they didn't win a cup, but you know, he played really well and solid with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the latter half of the contract when you sign something that big. So, I mean,
well, that and you got fickle fans in Vancouver.
It's Vancouver.
Maybe it all just needs to be pay for performance.
straight up bonus structure.
Yeah. So, you know, wins equal this amount of money and
shutouts. You get so many thousands per save and minus so many thousands per goal let in.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
It is.
Bonus for a shutout.
Well, if you tie it to the right stats, maybe.
It's like fantasy.
But if you, in real like, life. Imagine like skaters, you were tied to shots. Oh, no, I'm taking this one. Oh, no, I'm taking this one. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
But you have a base pay, but like assists would also, you know, come into play there.
But what if assists are less than goals? You're not going to have guys passing. They're going to be taking those shots.
Well, you still have that with contracts with, you know, if a skater gets so many goals in a season.
No.
They don't do the bonus structure anymore?
Not like that. It's usually like games played or something like that because of that very reason. The tying it to actual achievements other than just playing time is a dangerous situation.
So I guess, Jeff, going back to the original question, I would say maybe give them a 2-year, possibly a 3-year one-way contract at the very most.
That's where
on Kemper or like Dubnyk?
On Dubnyk. I'd say maybe somewhere in like the 4 to 5 mil range, depending on how far he goes with the Wild.
If you had to give him a contract today,
Dubnyk, I'd go 3 years at, you know, similar to what we gave Backstrom, 3 years, $3 million a year. You know,
an average.
It's not a crazy
for a goalie, right?
It's not crazy. It's not long term because he has to realize he's had a half good season of hockey. And
not even half yet,
and not even half.
Actually, more about around about a quarter.
So even if he takes us to the Holy Land and has a great end of the season here, even then he's only had a half good year of hockey, and he's got to be realistic in that it's a half year of hockey,
right?
You know,
he's been a rock star for it, but you know, there's still a lot to be seen.
It's the reality of the situation, and plus, Russo had posted recently that, you know, this offseason the Wild are coveting like Bufflin. You know, the Wild are going to need to pay for him.
Yeah,
and if they think they can get him, and
I don't. Do you think the Jets would even move him right now?
They're not going to move him. But he's a UFA.
After the end of the season.
After the end of the season. So the thoughts are that while they're going to go after him.
Bring him back home.
I agree, but I also think
we need another Minnesota player on this team.
And we need D.
I also think, though, that Minnesota is still going to have some sparkle to them to draw in some of the players from outside. Because I think that we really are one of those teams that is like right on that teetering edge of just, you know, breaking out and just being that dominant team. And any player likes to be a part of that. So,
yeah, I mean, that's part of the thing also with Dubnyk. You know, does he stick with the Wild, who he gets along in the clubhouse, likes all the people, he's won with them or is winning with them, or go to a team that's, you know, might be on the edge because winning teams aren't going to need goalies.
That's the other thing. Chuck Fletcher might want to shore up that deal right now before Dubnyk maybe has like a downturn and, you know, loses a couple games, and all of a sudden all the people in Minnesota after he loses 2 games are at his throat.
Yeah, he's not going to know the difference, though, because the boos sound like dude. <There we go.
laughs> I'm beginning to think that if he keeps this up for the next, 21 games, 22 games? What's left? I think we need to change our intro to "The Devil Went Down to Scottsdale Looking for a Soul to Steal."
All right.
So, speaking of stuff, the Wild set a franchise record tonight against Dallas, scoring 6 goals in 1 period against the Stars after being down 1-0 going into the third. The Wild lit up Enroth yet again, third time this season.
Third time's a charm.
Dubnyk gets his second win against Enroth. First one was his first game against Buffalo.
Yep.
So we had 5 different players score tonight, including 2 from Parisi. And in the past week, we've seen multiple goals from Nino and Fontrain also. So where is the scoring coming from? Where is this all of a sudden
What was the number? Was the Wilder outscoring opponents, what?
40-18 since the All-Star break.
I mean,
that's over 2-1.
Right. And, you know, that's since the All-Star break, that's what, 13 games? So we're looking at just around 3 goals a game scoring. And that's going to be an average winning team right there.
That's,
you know?
That's pretty average. But you also got to look. I mean, going back to our previous topic, but I mean, Dubnyk has been solid in there. 18 goals? I mean, that makes it right. Easy to be confident up right. In front.
We can get 3 goals. We just got to keep on working at it.
So,
you know, when you're down by 5, you go, we're going to have a tough time getting 6 goals here.
Well, there's that.
And then you just get 6 in one period.
And so, yeah, you're asking where these goals are coming from. If you're confident in the guy that's behind you who's stopping the pucks, you might be a little bit more apt to, you know, try that pass, you know, that cross ice pass, a little saucer pass right over a few guys' sticks and get the, you know, 2-on-1, 3-on-2s, or even some breakaways that we've been seeing here, you know.
Right.
Because you get it up to the players.
And actually, to your point, you know, the Wild aren't giving up breakaway. They have given up some breakaway chances, but Dubes shut them down. He hasn't, you know, it's not like when there was a breakaway against Backstrom where you're like, oh, crap.
Here we go.
Another one of these. I mean, but it hasn't been like that. You're like, oh, okay, you're getting a little nervous just because of our history here.
You're going to be nervous even if you got
even if you got Brodeur in net, you know, from 10 years ago.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, but he's been spectacular as far as that goes. And that makes it a little easier for those the forwards and the D to cheat forward a little bit more and go deep into the offensive zone.
Push for a little more offense.
You know, and speaking of the D, we're seeing more points coming from the D right now, too.
Yeah, totally.
In fact, the game against Calgary, one of the goals was Dumba's goal with an assist from Brodin and Dubnyk. You don't get much more deep.
Right.
On that goal.
Yep.
That's D carrying it coast to coast, really.
That's the 3 Ds. DDG.
Yeah.
DDG. But, I mean, so, you know, Dumba's been getting goals this week, too. He's got, what, 2 or 3 this week, I think? 2? Calgary, because he got one in Calgary, his hometown, and then 1 tonight. But, yeah, I think, Jive, I think you hit the nail on the head right there. Is you got confidence in the guy who's backing you up, and you're going to be itching and making a couple of those plays a little bit more frequently rather than trying to protect the puck.
Yeah. And you, which one of you two threw out the stat earlier about Dumba?
Aaron looked that up.
The how many games the Wild have won?
Oh yeah, with Dumba on ice. Russo actually posted that.
Okay.
Dumba, you know, the Wilder are 25-9-1 when Dumba is skating.
Wow.
6-12-6 when Dumba's not here.
Yo, you heard it here first. We need to keep Dumba.
Yo.
Well, I guess that'd be Fletcher.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe a little of that too. But you know, speaking of D-Man and some of the issues we're having there.
Spurgeon, yes.
Spurgeon, yeah, he's out.
You know, it's Wild lost him in what's starting to look like it might be a concussion. I don't think they've released any news as far as what it is aside from an upper body injury. And as odd as it sounds, the Wild are actually lucky. They got lucky because Scandella missed significant time in the Oilers game due to a knee injury or what looked to be a knee injury, leg injury of some sort.
But he was able to come back.
He's able to come back, and then you had Brodin tonight. He took a puck to the head, which was kind of a scary moment, and he ended up coming back as well. So even though we lost Spurgeon, you know, it could have been worse, as scary as that sounds. You know, and with that said, you know, there hasn't been any timetable released for when we should expect Spurgeon back, and we know all these. If it is a concussion, It could be next week. It could be he's done for the year. Right. We don't know.
You never know what happens.
And, you know, Follin has been recalled to replace him. He had a really good game tonight. He's had a couple good games here in Spurgeon's place. You know, will we see Spurgeon before the end of the regular season? And if we don't, what does that mean to the Wild's playoff chances?
Well, I think that if the youngsters keep stepping up like they are, I mean, we've mentioned Dumba here, Follin. I mean, they've come up and they've played strong games, and they've proven that, you know, they can play with the big boys up in the NHL. And I think that with that we could continue on this role.
The problem is where do we have depth beyond that?
Well,
because Follin's like the last line, because we lost Ballard,
right?
Possibly for the rest of the season. We don't know. I mean, I know he skated, but that doesn't mean
that
anything.
That just means he was upright and not getting dizzy,
well, right? And I'm pretty sure, yeah, what we've got left coming up from Iowa, they've got some problems going on down there. I think, right? I can't remember what I last saw their losing streak. Was that seven games or something like that?
The understatement would be say they're struggling.
They're struggling.
Is the first time that they've really kind of just struggled as a
talent
minority, right? Team.
You know? And we keep dipping back there to get any talent that we do have down there.
So, right.
I mean, that said, I mean, I think that the young talent that is coming up is fully capable to carry on the torch here. And
I mean, what are we looking at? Blum?
That is Blum.
Olofsson.
Bickle. I mean, yeah. Bickle, I know he'll play D from time to time, but do you want him? Is he going to be the key part of a playoff run? I don't think so.
Justin Falk.
Ooh, that's...
You know,
I mean, Blum's all right, but he's still not great. Falk is garbage. It gets real shady if we lose another guy. So that's why, you know,
the D is not that deep.
No, and so that's why, you know, the possibility of losing Scandella, you know, or Brodin for any significant time would have hurt a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I
well, we've always got Suter. He can play 45, you know,
50 minutes, you know,
50, maybe 60 minutes a game.
Right. Well, so I'm going to say, you know, losing Spurgeon isn't a big deal because we luckily, I think, Follin is capable enough to fill a spot. But the problem is if someone else gets hurt, that's going to make things real rough.
Well, and at least having Follin too, you got a little bit of size with him out there.
Right, right. He's not afraid to throw a check.
Well, neither is Spurgeon. He's half his size.
Maybe that's part of the problem. He's a little scrappy dude getting involved in all the plays here and doesn't actually work out all that great for him, you know?
You know, yeah, we need to try to keep the D healthy and keep them away from injury because it's going to hurt.
So do you think they should change their play at all then?
I think if they change the play, it's just going to hurt their chances of even getting into the playoffs. I think it's almost like a do or die situation.
Yeah, you don't ever want to, you know, ease up or not play hard, because that's actually when you're more likely to get an injury, when you're not going.
But there is something to be said about being smart of positioning yourself so you're not getting obliterated like Prosser does day in and day out.
Very,
you know?
Very true.
You know, I'm pretty sure.
Prosser always seems to be there when, when there's some sort of a mix-up or something.
It's like they switched out his nameplate so it says, check me on the back. You know?
He needs one of the, have you seen the Pee-wee hockey ones that say, stop, don't hit?
We need to give him the yellow jersey or whatever.
Like, yeah, the no contact. Maybe just during practices. No, well, he needs to stay in shape for it.
Yeah. Just, I'm wondering how much checking he takes during practice as well.
Right. Yep. I don't know. Does he piss off Koivu? Does he turn angry Finon? Koivu, smash!
Speaking of practice, the Minnesota Wild, they're considering a practice facility in the former Macy's building.
Dayton's.
Well, Dayton's.
Yeah, we're Minnesota. It's Dayton's.
Okay.
It's always going to be Dayton's.
It's always going to be Dayton's.
Screw Macy's.
But in downtown St. Paul. So the Wild, I mean, they aren't looking to use the entire building, just a portion of it.
Sure.
But, I mean, this could be a win for the city of St. Paul and for the Wild if the deal goes through. I mean, I don't know how much sense it makes for the Wild to have the facility. You know, it's a few blocks away from the X. So, yeah.
The problem is when they have something else booked at the X, they can't practice there.
Right.
Which, I mean, they have other options because, I mean, I know.
But they're further away from the X.
From the X. Because I know they practice at the Oval.
Yep.
They have. They practice in Minneapolis, too, at the Rose Gardens. No, that's the Oval.
Parade?
At Parade.
Parade
City. Or at least they used to. I don't know if they do anymore.
Okay.
So, I mean, there are options.
Right. Yeah.
But having like something dedicated like that, I think would be a good thing.
Yeah. Right.
Where it's theirs and they can guarantee the time. Yep. They get first dibs on it.
If there's a concert going on, they can still practice without having to cross. Yep. Go drive across town, you know. Right.
So, I mean, it would be a definite bonus for the city and maybe draw some, you know, some for something other. I mean, because I'm assuming that with this practice facility, maybe, you know, they might let the public.
Well, that's what it sounds like, is the fact that it's not going to be. I mean, they're going to be using the ice for at the most like 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, but they'll also have the training facilities and stuff in there as well.
Right.
I'm just trying to figure out, I mean, I've worked downtown St. Paul before. I don't understand how the heck they would work things there. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Not a lot of parking.
Well, actually, there is. There's a whole deal of parking attached to the building.
Right there?
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, there's plenty of parking. It's more so just the, it was a department store. And it's a funky building. How are the skyways going to interact with that? The skyway's going to have a path over it so you can see over the ice and
that'd
all that?
That'd be pretty awesome.
You know, it would be cool.
Could it be like that deal they got out in the Grand Canyon, like the little walk thing, like where it's like glass underneath you and you can look straight down to the ice?
I mean, that'd be super cool. But because it's cool, that means they're probably not going to do it.
Right.
and that's where I go, okay, they might do all this. You've got skyways running through there, but it's probably going to be like a closed tunnel where you can't see anything else going on.
Well, I'm sure they would reroute the skyways so you're not going directly over the ice.
Right. But you're not going to probably see anything. I don't think this is really bringing any revenue to the city other than filling up a building that's currently vacant. Yeah. I don't see. I mean, it helps the Wild, obviously.
Well, and I think,
but I don't think it helps St. Paul at all. But that has to do with the leadership in St. Paul. I think is a bunch of boobs.
They've been turned down previously for a practice arena in St. Paul.
Back two
years ago.
I think it was more than that. I think it was like 2009 or. With Norm Coleman.
He basically vetoed it.
Yeah.
No, Chris Coleman.
Chris
Coleman. Yeah.
Norm was a couple mayors before
there
that.
There we go. See. So, yeah. And I mean similar to that, the Timberwolves also, they're doing something similar down
with
in
Block E, right? Yeah,
well, yeah, they got the sports clinic going in over there. Yeah.
But I think there's practice facilities for them going in Block E as well as the sports clinic, whatever.
Right. So, from this deal, do you guys think then, though, that the city would probably benefit the most? I mean, I think that it's a good thing for a city. Anytime you're filling up your buildings, you don't want big buildings like that to sit vacant and empty.
I think you're right. It's good that the city of St. Paul fills up a building. I know this is going to go way too political here, but I think the being a former St. Paul resident, I feel that the city council is way too concerned on putting housing in downtown St. Paul and not enough on putting in, you know, there's no grocery store in downtown St. Paul.
Right.
There's no, now there's no, I mean, with Macy's gone, there's no real shopping area in downtown St. Paul. Yeah. Downtown St. Paul. Downtown St. Paul, they've got offices that are, a lot of them are empty, and you've got apartments. There's like nothing going on in downtown St. Paul. This is, and that's not a new joke. That's been the joke forever.
St. Paul, their streets roll up at like 7 o'clock.
Right.
Once happy hour's done.
And then you've got the added problem of like bus stops that are overrun with, you know, kind of gang activity and just weird stuff going on down there.
But you got to think, I mean, they're making some positive movements. I mean, we've got the light rail going down in there now. Yeah. You've Saint got
Stadium.
The new Saint Stadium that I believe opens this spring. I think it's supposed to.
Yeah.
You've got, and I know like where they're forming some sort of a central station or whatever, like where the light rail comes in.
Union
Depot.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't that like the Union or like the Depot building or something before? Previously,
yeah, it was right across the street from
Station Four, or Lab, or Ryan's, or
whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't change things overnight, but maybe they're trying to head into a better direction.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to be proven wrong, but I think there's enough things going wrong, especially in downtown St. Paul. I think I'm up on a lot of the other parts of St. Paul. But I think downtown is woefully neglected.
Okay. I don't know. I obviously, you know, being Minneapolis resident for my entire life, not knowing exactly how St. Paul works, other than the fact that I don't like going there, except for Wild games.
The reason that you don't like to go there, because I grew up in Minneapolis, same as you did, is that in Minneapolis the streets are alphabetical or numerical, or ordered in the presidential order. In St. Paul, some drunk dude just named whatever, started numbering whatever. They start numbering, like, from a middle of a block. I mean,
it is an older city, though, and it is right against the river. Whereas Minneapolis kind of built its center off the river a little bit more so. And plus, what number is Washington? Because it doesn't go Washington 2, 3, 4?
No.
No?
No.
Washington doesn't run parallel?
You're thinking of the Washington that's in
North Minneapolis.
What about Marquette and Nicollet? Where does that fall in numbers?
M&M.
Those are only down.
Yeah. Marquette, oh, okay. Now it makes sense.
Alphabetical.
Tonight's show is brought to you by the number N.
Uh-oh. We're getting to St. Paul, Minneapolis war here.
All right. Moving on.
Just stay on your side of the river,
damn it. You know what? From my understanding, it sounds like the city of St. Paul owns the building right now, though.
They do.
And it sounds like the team wants to actually purchase the building from the city.
I don't know if they want to purchase the entire building from them. I think that they're just looking
probably to buy a few floors.
Portion.
Yeah. Okay. So, because the article I read, it's kind of seemed unclear to me, at least. I thought they were looking at buying the entire building and then actually renting it out or leasing it out or whatever to any community program when they weren't there.
Oh, you're talking about the ice and the
and the facilities and what have you. Right. Which, I mean, I could see that being, you know, great for the community.
Oh, definitely.
You know, taking the bill off St. Paul's hands and then, you know, can doing some stuff for the city, the community, what have you.
Though, I mean, inner city hockey has become kind of a chore, I believe, to get up enough players for a team these days.
St. Paul's doing a little bit better than Minneapolis, though.
Yeah,
Minneapolis is down to east and west. I believe.
Yeah.
Or north and south? East and west? Is it all one combined team now?
I think it's all one combined team.
Wow, they went from, like, what, six high schools that had hockey team, like public high schools that had a hockey team, to splitting up between two, and now it's down to, here's Minneapolis.
Yeah, I think St. Paul still has
St. Paul's got
several,
a few.
Yeah.
For public.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
So, okay.
So, all right. What do we got? Upcoming
week?
Yeah, so upcoming. There could be some knuckle pucks tossed at the Wild this week. Tuesday is against the Oilers at home, which hopefully will be the easy part of the week, but Edmonton could still have enough in them to be a spoiler. Thursday, the Wild will face Nashville in Nashville, who are currently leading the pack for the President's Cup. And then on to Colorado on Saturday, where the Avs currently sit 6 points behind the Wild, you know, which 6 points is still close enough with 20 games, just over 20 games left, that it could go either way. So, speaking of six points, the Wild currently sit 6 points behind Chicago for a top six spot, with the Jets sitting in between 2 points ahead of the Wild. All three teams have three games through Sunday. Chicago has the toughest with a home-and-home against Nashville, then on to Tampa Bay, who is fighting for the top spot in the East. Jets play Dallas, which we've seen Dallas right now. St. Louis and Kings are in the middle of the battle in the Pacific. What will be the driving force behind the Wild this week to potentially get the Central Division into the same logjam as the Pacific?
Well, you got to hope that, you know, Wild beat the Oilers. That should be when we need to win. It should be an easy win. They should be able to do it. Avalanche on the road, it's going to be a tougher game. I mean,
like I said, I mean, it's 6 points. Yeah. It's still very, very tight.
But that Predators game is going to be a tough one. I mean, Predators on the road, as we said, they lead the league with 40 wins already. It's going to be a real tough one to overcome. But, you know, you do some damage there, and you start inching your way up the rankings in the Central. And, you know, if we can – 6 points, we've done that already. We were out by more than that, and we crawled up that fast, you know. It wouldn't be crazy for us to unseat Chicago and move into that spot.
Or it wouldn't be crazy for us to also head the other direction.
This is true.
Let's stay positive. and yeah, I mean, I really think that, you know, I think that we can contend with Chicago. Chicago's not as powerful as they've been in years past, but, I mean, they still, you know, they always have a great
Chicago's team on a losing streak right now. And I do apologize. It is the Panthers, not the Predators, that Chicago is doing a home-and-home with.
Okay.
But Florida is still 3 points out of a wild card position, so they're going to be fighting just as hard.
And Florida isn't a bad team. I mean,
no.
But, you know, there's a little difference there, though.
just a little bit talent-wise. Yeah,
just a bit, yeah.
And Florida's also been on a losing streak, though. They've lost the last two.
So something's got to give.
Something's got to give between one of them.
Yeah.
But is it possible? I mean, obviously they're not out of contention for getting an actual legit playoff spot right now.
Non-wild card spot.
Non-wild card.
But since we're the Wild, I think we can only have the wild card.
Have we ever had a non-wild card spot? I don't think. I don't think so.
Back in the...
Well, before there was a wild card, we had a non-wild card spot.
Right.
No, because I think we had, like, fourth... Didn't we finish in fourth one here? Oh, now I got to go look.
Yeah, whatever. I shouldn't have asked that question. But, you know, I think we can do it. I think we need to... It's just a matter of playing through some of these games and hopefully get some wins. So,
Awesome.
Well, game should we get into the game of the week then?
Might as well.
All right.
So last week's game of the week was Wild to Flames. There was only one winner, and that was Kenny who picked
the Wild. Actually, there was two winners, the Wild one. And actually, technically, we all won since the Wild won.
This is true. But in this game, you were the one who won.
Way to make it cheesy.
Yeah.
So with that, Kenny is clawing
back. It's like an episode of... Full House, you know, the cheesy ending where everything's all happy.
Cut it out.
Oh, no.
How rude.
Oh, boy.
So with that, Kenny's clawing back. He got another point here. That puts him at 10 points. Jive still leads with 11, and I'm way back in last with 7 points. So with that, I get to choose the game of the week, and I'm going with the Wild, the Predators. That's going to be a tough game. You know, and, you know, Kenny, we'll start with you. What do you think, how do you think that's going to play out?
That's going to be just a brutal game. I think that's going to be the hardest game that they face this week. I'm still going to go with the Wild. I think it's going to be tight. I'm going to go 4-1 like I did with the Flames, and I think it's going to be an empty netter at the end, I think is what's going to happen. I think it's going to be a tight 2-1 game, most of it.
And I'm going to have to go with the Wild win in this one as well. I really think that, you know, the Wild are on a definite streak right now. They're playing some good hockey. Mm-hmm. They've got some great confidence going on for themselves. And I guess I don't see it changing at this point right now. That said, I mean, like you say, the Predators are a great team. And I'm hoping that it isn't like a heartbreaking loss to them. But what I'm going to guess, though, is that the Wild are going to pull it out there. Being as that they have been the hottest team, like we mentioned earlier, since the All-Star break. 11-1-1. I mean, you can't argue with that, even as good as the Predators have been. So I'm going to go with the Wild winning with a total of 5 goals.
Okay, and I'm going to go with the Wild losing. First off, the Wild, since the All-Star break, as we've said, they're 11-1-1. Two losses have occurred on the road. And then if you look at you know, the Predators at home this season, they're 25-3-1.
Something's got to give.
Wow.
The Wild are 14-14-2 on the road. Could the Wild win? Sure. You know, I hope they win. Sure. But I think
gotta look at the numbers.
I gotta look at the numbers, and I'm going with the Predators winning, and I have 5 points total, 3-2 game. That's what I'm gonna figure.
Hey, we say we're being a numbers guy's gotten you.
Right. Last place.
I hope you stay there. Sorry.
You suck. You both suck. So. This will be my time to come back. I gotta play against both of you and just hope for the worst, I guess. Or the best. I don't know. Yeah. So that's the game of the week. We're going to do this new segment here.
Yeah.
Wild trivia.
Bring in the trivia.
Not even wild trivia, just trivia.
I think that's copyrighted.
Great. My whistle? Yes, it is.
We got put on a list somewhere now. DMC takedowns are coming.
No!
Left and right. So our question, you know, for our inaugural trivia question tonight, the Wild had 6 goals in single period, and while that's a Wild franchise record, it's not an NHL record. So this week's question is: what is the NHL record for goals in a period? And extra credit if you can name what team scored the goals and what team they did it against. And
so the NHL record for most goals in a period.
In a single period by a single team.
Now, is that regular season?
Regular season. Not all-star games.
No all-star games included in that?
No all-star games, because that would be...
No North America versus the world.
Yeah. No Team Foligno versus Team whatever the hell it was this year. No. Regulation, NHL teams... within history here. You can tweet us the answer. We'll announce your name and we'll maybe ask you a question if you want to put a question towards us. But, you know, tweet us the answer and we'll tell you the answer next week and give you another question. How's that sound?
Good.
Yeah.
All right.
I like it.
So I think we're at the end of the show. So, you know, when I'm not live tweeting Wild games for 3 in the Box, and that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter, you can find me on Twitter at Aaron3ITV. And you can also check out my bands, GNP at GNPHertz.com and Pinrot at Pinrot.com. Kenny.
Yeah, this is Kenny. You can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999, retweeting about live audio and random stupid stuff.
Oh, and I'm Jive. You can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. And I think that about wraps it up for us tonight. Have a good night, folks.
Hello.
Woo, woo!
That's horrible.